You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alball, along with Mr. Sam Davison, our producer and engineer for the day. It is Wednesday, May 28th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is... Do we have a... Oh, my gosh, that's fantastic.
Sorry.
That was fantastic.
I forgot it was a Wednesday.
But it was quick. There we go. It was a dancing camel.
We again wish a fond farewell to Sam Davison. It was a wonderful audition.
No, that was great. That was the best possible thing. Hello, everybody. Glad to have you along with us at the Civic Media World headquarters here on State Street. Overcast skies today. It looks like some rain coming in for much of Wisconsin today into tonight, and then warming up for the end of the week. Yes, Mr. Zomers is out. Doctor visit. Nothing serious, but he'll be back tomorrow, all things considered. But, ladies and gentlemen, we are very thrilled and honored, whatever Zomers is not here, to have Mr. Sam Davidson, the producer of John and Gordy here at WMDX in Madison. And, folks, this will be most likely our last time with Sam, because Friday is his last day here at Civic Media, although...
He just missed a camel. I mean, come on.
That's right.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's something else. Sorry.
No, You're doing some other stuff, right,
Sam? That's right. Well, the long-term plan is to become a high school teacher, social studies teacher. This summer I'm taking off, though, to work at a summer camp I used to work at. So,
Boy Scouts of America?
That's right. Looking forward to it.
I think this is fantastic. And we all – and by the way, joining us, the host of Mornings.
Get you one of them scripty things.
Right, yeah. With Pat Kreitlow. Mr. Pat Kreitlow himself from beautiful Lake Wissota. The studios there, which he was kind enough to share with us last Friday. And joining us from our nation's capital in the Tony suburbs of Arlington, the former Republican like myself and now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, Mr. Trigvi Olson. Trigvi and Pat, we've talked about public education so often on this show. And Pat, I know you have spent a lot of time on yours. Don't we need more great teachers in our public schools like Sam Davison?
We do need more great teachers in our public schools. And I believe Sam Davison has the potential to be one of them. Yes, absolutely.
One day, perhaps.
One day. With a little bit more practice. Yeah. Yes, he too. No, when he told me that live on our air, I'm sure folks heard me right away, kind of startled and gushing. It was like, this is great. We need this. We need more civics. We need more social studies. We need all of the things. And Sam, I can't think of a better person to go in and do that. So I am genuinely thrilled for him and know that he's going to change lives.
Yeah. Aww. Thank you, Pat.
Absolutely. Really appreciate everything you've done, Sam, for not just our show, but this network. And he will be forever remembered on this show for the Sam Davison Street Cam, which he set up and created. Let's take a live shot for those watching the stream, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Look at that shot. Right down there, the Sam Davison Street Cam, right on the corner of State Street and Fairchild. It's a beautiful day, a little overcast.
Sleepiest capital city in the
world. Yeah,
the legislature's not working, so, you know.
That's a good point.
Not much going on down here. Thank you, Sam. Well, we'll check in more, Sam, a little bit later throughout the show. Hour number two, we might actually do a little My Favorite Sams, a segment we call My Favorite Sams in hour number two. Also coming up in hour number two today, going to do a little what's worse for you. Today's category, a la carte menus or buffets. A la carte menus or Jimmy Buffett's or buffets. We'll discuss that in hour two. But first of all, gentlemen, want to get into a little newsy news. And by the way, we're gonna break whenever she calls in. We have a special guest calling in because I had an MRI yesterday, and I'm bringing in help to diagnose it. So more on that a little bit later. But
I actually had a colonoscopy yesterday. We could have her diagnose that, too, if you want.
Wow. Old men and their medical problems on the Off-Ball Show today.
I raise a glass of Metamucil to you both. It's
the prep is terrible.
Sam's like, I cannot leave here soon enough.
Please get me away from these grouchy old men.
Honestly, right. Sam needs to think I can't turn 50 soon enough, or I can turn 50 too soon.
We'll get to that in a minute, but let's do some serious stuff till Dr. Lyerly calls in. I wanted to start
Wait. Your MRI is being diagnosed by your gynecologist, Dr. Lyerly?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Isn't that fantastic?
All right. Yeah. I'll allow it. Go ahead.
Thank you. The Joint Finance Committee, it is rumored they're going to have an executive session finally this week. We had State Senator Kelda Royce on last week, and she's been making weekly appearances, so kind enough to do that, a member of JFC. And Pat, let's start with you, a former Democratic state senator here in Madison. This seems weird to me, this process. We talked a little bit about it on your show this morning, and now there are signals that maybe some Democrats want Governor Evers just to outright veto whatever Republicans send him.
They could. I mean, that's one possibility. And there were many people in the Capitol yesterday on behalf of a coalition of groups that were saying, look, if this budget, instead of trying to fix a bad budget with partial vetoes, just veto the entire thing and tell the legislature to start over. And as we covered on the program this morning, you know, that comes with risks because this isn't the federal government where, you know, you have a shutdown if there's no budget. It just continues under the current budget, you know, in perpetuity. And Republicans don't necessarily see that as a bad thing. It then becomes a messaging war. You know, is it that the lazy legislature isn't doing its job? Or is it that the governor wouldn't come to the negotiating table? And the thing at the bottom of all this is the mistrust. And there is so much distrust between Republicans and the governor, nearly all of which lies on the side of Republicans who, from the get-go, from the moment Tony Evers was elected, looked for ways to undermine what he's done, took away some of his powers, haven't confirmed so many of his nominees, never working off of his budget bill, but insisting on starting on their own. And they simply don't have the moral high ground on this. Mm-hmm. However, they really won't think twice if they don't have to pass a budget at all, in my view.
Trevi Olson, you've spent time working in the state capitol and the legislature as well, also for former Republican Governor Scott McCallum, and tangentially for Republican Governor Tommy Thompson as well, before you moved out to D.C. You'd always talk about narrative, about messaging, what Pat just said. What are your thoughts? You know Robin Voss, the speaker, pretty well. If Tony Evers just decides to veto the whole thing, isn't there a risk that Voss and Devin Lemahieu, the majority leader of the Senate, simply say, look, we passed something. We put a budget there. And if Tony Evers doesn't want to play ball, then the reason that we don't have a budget is because of him.
I think it really depends on what Evers is willing to do, right? Like the reality is, you know, if whether Evers runs again or not, right? Like this is in part going to shape 2026 in the election for governor in the state of Wisconsin. So at some point, there has to be the calculus that you have Republicans across the state. For Evers to win, he's going to need to run slightly better, okay, than Harris did in those places. And, you know, obviously the legislature's advantage politically is they have people spread out across the state who are known, who are going to be talking about it. And Republicans have the slight advantage that in the marginal parts of the districts, the marginal parts of the state tend to be Republican districts, right? So they've got natural advocates. If Evers is going to get out and really run a campaign style to places like Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls and Wausau and make the case, then I think that is a strategy that they definitely should think about pursuing. If Evers is unwilling to go out and do that kind of retail selling for why he vetoed it, then I think they may be better off trying to go down the macro messaging of vetoing little pieces, bits and pieces, and sell that rather than going full on war.
And Pat Kreitlow, isn't that one of the knocks on the Democratic governor? He's a nice guy. He's smart. He'll go to meetings and he'll kind of go out once in a while, but he's not a barnstormer, certainly not like Tommy Thompson or even Jim Doyle for that matter, which would go out and kind of get on the stump and sell stuff.
Right. I mean, the firebrand is never a word that has been used there, but he just quietly goes about getting the things done that he can get done with this kind of a legislature. He points out, you know, where there are flaws. Occasionally, he uses some really strong language, like saying H-E double hockey sticks. And, you know, people appreciate that, frankly. So all of us who love being inside the parlor, you know, we want to see the bare knuckles. We want to see the sharp elbows. And Governor Evers has always been, you know, the kind of manager that says, I can get this done quietly, and if I can't get it done, I will quietly tell you where they're wrong. It's how he won a second term. It's how he would count on winning a third term, because most people, by all of our admissions, I'm sure, would agree that most voters don't really follow the minutiae of a state budget. They just want to know who's on your side. Tony Evers is usually better at that than any Republican that's run for statewide office lately.
And picking up on that,
but he'd have to go out and make the case.
Yeah, right.
He has before. Yeah, I mean, ask Governor Michaels how that's working out for him.
No, I don't disagree with that.
A couple of minutes before the first break here, guys, speaking of parlor games, let's play If You Were Jim Clouser, the former guy who ran Tommy Thompson's cabinet. If you guys were putting the budget together and advising Tony Evers, or even the Republicans for that matter, what are the top two or three things that you would make sure is in that budget to go out and sell it? Pat Kreitlow.
To go out and sell it. Well, this is more a reflection on me. I would always say the win-win. It does you the most good. Look for that, especially with a, let me say again, $4 billion surplus. You got to, if you can go out and say, you know, I didn't like everything the Republicans got, but look what we got. If you can get that, that to me is always the ultimate thing to do. Now, it's not for Robin Voss, and so that's why it's tough for Tony Evers, even if that's what he wants to do. It's tough for him to get that, but if you're asking what my advice would be, I'd say look for any kind of a win-win you can pull out of it.
Trevi?
Well, since Clouser was a Democrat who worked for a Republican, I guess if I were a Republican advising Governor Kreitlow, I would be saying, one, we need to think long and hard about where can we line item stuff. I think the line item has been revised somewhat, but I would try and take individual pieces out. In terms of big, bold initiatives, you have the surplus. I would make it about public education / workforce development. And I would build a narrative around how public education is the hub and the core of our communities. I would actually fight with them on the UW system to a degree. And I would make the same case that while Republicans are busy saying that the University of Wisconsin's a woke den of indoctrination and then sending out Christmas cards bragging about how their kids graduated from the UW Engineering School like Scott Walker does every year, although I don't get his Christmas cards anymore since I started bagging on him on the show, which I don't really care. But saves the post office work. But I would be saying to Pat, listen, let's make this, we're the ones standing and fighting for the smaller communities, and then tell the consequences, right? Like, look at what's happening in healthcare in Eau Claire, right?
Right.
But then the good side of that, you know, UW Wisconsin Eau Claire with the partnership with Mayo Clinic, I would make it a referendum on that.
Trevi Olson really already has Kreitlow for governor 2026 ready to go. Come on back. We'll discuss more with
nice
Pat.
Nice grown, Trevi. Thanks.
And Trevi on the other side. To stay with us, it's the All Ball Show for Wednesday across Wisconsin on the Civic Media. Ready to.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Wednesday, May 28th. Glad to have you along. A little rain outside, little clouds, but glad to have you along. Sam Davidson on the board for Aaron Zomers today. Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, joins us from beautiful Lake Wissota. And Trevi Olson, senior advisor of the Lincoln Project, is out in beautiful Arlington in Washington, D.C. area. All right, guys, now here, people that listen to the show regularly know I'm pretty open about my life because I always think, well, if I'm going through something, maybe it can help somebody else. And so I've talked before, I've during my lifetime, I've passed a couple of kidney stones. And let me tell you, that ain't no fun. And I've been told I got like 3 or so still left in the left kidney. So I was having some pain in my left flank, my left side, a couple weeks ago. And I went in, they were like, well, we haven't done an MRI on these things in a couple of years. So I had an MRI done yesterday. And just before we went on the air, I've gotten my results back. And this is what the note says from the physician assistant, the nurse. Oh, I guess it's a nurse practitioner that helped out on this. Said, Todd, your kidney stones do not look concerning. Very good. That's good news. You have, quote unquote, fatty liver. And this is recommended to manage with healthy weight and diet. Let me know if you have any questions. Sarah, fatty liver? And this gets very concerning to me. And so I thought, what better to help out than to bring on our own, she's not a resident, she's a full-bird MD, our very own Dr. Kristen Lyerly, host of the Kristen Lyerly Show every Saturday here across Civic Media. She's kind enough to join us via phone. Dr. Lyerly, how are you?
Hey, Todd, I'm better than you. I think my liver is normal, pal.
I'll say, this guy's off so much, he's got a gynecologist interpreting his MRIs on his kidneys. This is great.
I know, right?
Although these odds are right because about 25% of people actually have fatty liver disease. So let me count here, Todd.
It's a disease?
Pat, me. Yeah, it is. So. It's considered a disease.
There's four of us.
There's four of us on here. That means, I guess, we know who's the one in four, Todd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Now, clarify, Dr. Lyerly, because we were talking before we went on here, because my mother is going to have a heart attack because she's told me, she goes, well, I think that you've been, you know, I'm open with my alcohol consumption. I have, like, it's literally, I haven't had a drink since probably Friday. And I'm not like I don't sit down and have a six pack. I'm not now, even if I wanted to, after two beers, I'm just tired. So it's not like that. I don't drink a bunch of hard alcohol, occasionally a drink. So I'm not a big drinker. But this is not, quote, I want to emphasize, this is not alcoholic fatty liver. It's just your standard fatty liver. What causes this, Dr. Lyerly?
Well, if it's diagnosed on an MRI, it's really difficult to differentiate between the two. So it could be, they typically fall into one of two buckets, either the alcoholic or the non-alcoholic. Mm-hmm. If it's alcohol, then obviously the best treatment is to reduce your alcohol consumption. Mm-hmm. If it's non-alcoholic, the best treatment is to improve your diet, exercise, evaluate the medications that you're taking, including any supplements, because they can all cause fatty liver disease as well.
Really?
Maintain a normal weight. Yeah, all of those things can contribute. So if, say, you have high cholesterol or dyslipidemia, we call it because it's more than cholesterol, that can contribute to fatty liver disease. So fatty liver disease is exactly what it sounds like. It's fat that accumulates in your liver, and it makes it less efficient and less able to manage the toxins in your body because your liver really is just a big filter.
That's very interesting. I don't mind sharing. So I'm a 55-year-old man. I'm 5'9" apparently now. I weigh 178 pounds, and I don't take any meds for cholesterol or anything like that. I'm otherwise healthy. But I think you're right. A, I do take vitamins on and off, and B, you know, my diet is crap because I work weird times, and I don't eat well. So I'm thinking that's probably what it is.
Yeah, I'd be curious. Just look at your last MRI and just see how much change has occurred since then and what that time interval was. And I'd also be curious to see, what does your routine blood work look like? Have you had a routine preventive exam with your healthcare provider?
Yes.
And what did your cholesterol numbers look like? What did your sugar numbers look like? Could you be pre-diabetic?
Nope.
All of those things can contribute to fatty liver disease.
I've listened to you across this network, and I have an annual full bird physical with a full panel. And my doctor said I'm just below the line for like high cholesterol. I'm on the higher end of the good spectrum, but otherwise, no, blood pressure is fine. And, you know, I'm fine. Tony Zimmerman, by the way, watching on YouTube, says he says, yes, drinking old fashions with Pat Kreitlow on air on Friday. That's real healthy, Todd.
That's never a healthy thing. And could I just suggest, Todd, that you use my barometer in terms of whether something is fatty or not. Derek Van Orden refers to me as fat all the time in his comments, so I'll know that my weight's under control when Derek Van Orden needs to find a new insult for me. So get yourself a politician that will hurl medical-based insults at you and use that as your barometer.
Well, that's fantastic.
He's calling you fat?
Oh, yeah, in the comment sections. That's his big thing.
That's terrible.
He's bald with a bad beard. Seriously.
I'd like to see what Derek Van Orden's liver looks like.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Nice point, Dr. Wiley. He's got the alcohol kind. Yeah, exactly.
I have a question for you. So now, having traveled down the
road,
we got one minute left. What do you think of the Red Bull and the mini donuts every morning?
I don't have that.
Probably be part of his problem.
Maybe he should.
No, I don't. I really don't.
God, I think your friends know you better than you realize.
No, don't. Now, my mother's probably listening. She's got, I don't even like Red Bull. I don't do that. It's coffee and donuts.
He gets and one full clamshell of those Quick Trip cookies every day with the little M&Ms in there.
All right.
You know? God knows how to clean out a Quick Trip.
Dr. Lyle, I cannot thank you enough for making time in your day to do this. Thank you for it. In all seriousness, thank you, because I feel better now. I just have to watch my diet. And what time your show is on?
I think you need better friends.
Yeah. You two can talk about this at 8 a.m. Friday when you're both filling in for me, okay?
Hey, all right. Sounds
good.
Thank you, Dr. Lyle. Trivia on the other side.
Thanks,
stay with
Dad.
Us. Bye-bye. Fast Fingers of Sam Davison, Depeche Mode, by request from our guest this hour, Trigby Olson, the senior advisor of the Lincoln Project. Glad to have you along here. 35 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock on Wednesday, May 28th. It's the All-Ball Show across Wisconsin on Civic Media. Well, there you go, guys. Many thanks to Dr. Lyerly for stopping by on very, very short notice after I got those results. I think the bottom line is I just need to eat better and exercise more. That's the bottom line. Sam, you said, not to overshare, but you went to the doctor yourself today, right?
Yeah, for the first time in a few years, I had to put my big boy pants on and schedule an appointment myself for the first time. Went in and pretty much healthy. As they always say, I can eat better, exercise more, but
you're in good shape. You're not overweight.
Yeah.
No, you're healthy. You're an Eagle Scout, for God's sake.
That's right. Yeah.
Right? So you had to go because you had to get it done for the Boy Scout camp.
Yeah, that's right. All right.
But you're healthy. You're healthy.
Yeah, I could probably run from bottom end to the top end of State Street without stopping.
Really?
I probably could.
There was a time 8 years ago I could. I'm not sure. I need to get back into better shape. Trigby, he's got a personal trainer now. Trigby, I mean, I think this is actually a really good... We're having a little bit of fun with this, but I think it's a little bit of, I think this is a really good discussion because I think we as men, too often, we put it off, we say, nah, I'll be fine. We have this attitude that we're going to tough it out. But the reality is, if we get regular routine exams, annual exams, if there is something wrong, you can deal with it much better than if you let it go.
Yeah, 100%. And I will tell you, taking off weight, Todd, is a huge part of it. As you know, I've taken off probably 45 pounds, maybe 50 pounds.
Very proud of you.
I've lost muscle. You know, I was doing power lifting for a while with my trainer. But I can do 6 pull-ups. I don't even think in college I could do 6 pull-ups. Yeah. So yeah, it makes a huge difference. And in fact, when I went in, and I say this in all seriousness, I did go in for my colonoscopy yesterday. I've been doing good Wisconsin company. I'd done ColonGuard before that, right? Mm-hmm. Which you get to be 57 and you're male, you need to go in and do it. Colon cancer screening is really important. I had a high school classmate who was a nurse, Christina Hansen, at Mayo Clinic. She died of colorectal cancer in her 40s, and it was tragic. I mean, it turned out she was adopted and it ran in the family. It's incredibly important to do. And honestly, I thought it was going to be horrible. Mm-hmm. Basically, they cart you in, they're talking to you, they flip a switch on your IV, and the next thing you know, you wake up and you're back in the other room. So,
yeah, I mean, I have not had one done yet. My doctor said the ColonGuard screening was enough for now, but probably the next couple of years I will have to. But everybody, I've had friends go through it besides TrickV, and same thing, TrickV. They say, I don't really remember anything. They you go in, they talk to you, they give you the IV, and then you wake up. So it's...
Yeah, and the consequences of not doing it. I mean, you do not want to get colorectal cancer. You really don't.
No.
And the other thing that I will tell you that's kind of funny, you know, so ColonGuard is a Wisconsin company.
Yeah, based here in
Madison.
Started
by a guy who my dad knew his dad. My dad and his dad worked at 3M.
Really?
You want to hear my funny ColonGuard story, though?
Sure. Why not?
All right. So, you know, with ColonGuard, right?
Well, it's FCC appropriate, but go ahead.
It is FCC approved. Okay. So, you know how you do your business, and then you have the box that you have to send back, and you just have to take it to a UPS store? Mm-hmm. So I had the box, and I came out with it, and Erica was going someplace, my wife, and I said, hey, I got this box. Could you take it to the UPS store? And she says, what's in it? And I said, just some crap I need sent. I use the other word, but, and she's like, well, what is it? And I'm like, literally some crap I need sent.
Right. That's really good. I like that. That was nicely done. Nicely done, TrickV. Yeah, I know. That's good. Yeah. Bottom line
but
is,
they all kinds of jobs in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
They're
a huge. ColonGuard is a huge, huge company here in Madison. And in all seriousness, guys and gals, everyone, take care of yourselves. Be preventative. Don't, especially if you're a guy, don't be Mr. Tough. Go regardless of your age. Get regular routine exams. And TrickV, to kind of turn that into where I want to go next to Washington D.C. A lot of people don't have the insurance to go for routine exams, and that's part of the reason they don't do it. Yeah. Let's spend a little time on what's happening out in D.C. in terms of the reconciliation bill. I'm not going to use the marketing that Trump is on this bill, but the reality is if the House version that passed were to be passed by the Senate, chances are it won't, and Trump would sign it into law. We have no choice but to expect major cuts to Medicaid, which would impede people here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it would. I mean, first of all, it is highly unlikely that the bill that got through the House is going to get through the Senate as it's constructed. That's number one. So, you know, some of this is, I mean, we live in this age where, you know, everybody's... Now that I'm on Substack, I'm one of those people. But like everybody's trying to tweet, everybody's trying to look for angles, right? Like, so you got the media 24/7. So like controversy sells and you've got two warring camps. And the truth of the matter is the bill is going to look very different. I think the bigger question is how do the Senate and the House ever come to some sort of reconciliation about what our priorities are? Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that is really sort of a challenge. And I'm pretty conservative guy, as you know, but I also believe, there's an element of humanity that we are losing, you know, I wrote a Substack post on this because I'm really trying to not write Substack that's about outrage. It's calling out some of that, but I wrote about Joe Biden, you know, saying that he had cancer, right? And he's seriously ill, and how there were people that were literally trying to get political advantage out of that and saying just things that you shouldn't say when there's not, another human is getting that, because all of us are going to be in that situation someday. Maybe a friend, it may be ourselves, right? Medicare and Medicaid, the idea that there's waste, fraud, and abuse, there probably is some, but it's also true that what they're talking about seems to be actually cutting people that need it.
Right.
And we're all going to be judged at the end of the day when we reach the end of the line on not on how much money we had or what kinds of things we did, but how gracious we were to other people. Because remember, our lives really end when everybody who knows you is gone.
Yeah.
And while people exist, what are they saying and what are they thinking about you when they think about you? And we're failing on that in so many ways, Todd.
If you'd like to weigh in on this budget going through the House right now, give us a call. Any other questions for TrickV? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Download it today, your Apple or Android device. Go to your search bar, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, media, it'll pop up. Click on that little cute CM logo, takes less than a minute, it's free. It's what CBS's Gail King calls a deal. Sam, I sent you a cut on Elon Musk, speaking of CBS, from CBS Sunday Morning. Let me know when you got that one ready. Look at how fast he is. Look at that. Fast fingers there. So, Trigvi, speaking of this bill, the Trump bill, there's an upcoming interview this Sunday with David Pogue, the interviewer, with Elon Musk. They've released part of this interview, and Elon Musk kind of getting off the Trump train. Here we go.
So, you know, I was like disappointed to see the massive spending bill, frankly, which increases the budget deficit, not just decrease it, and undermines the work that the Doge team is doing.
I actually thought that when this big, beautiful bill came along, I mean, like, everything he's done on Doge gets wiped out in the first year.
I think a bill can be big, or it can be beautiful, but I don't know if it can be both. My personal opinion.
His personal, Elon Musk saying the bill can be big or it can be beautiful, but it can't be both. Trigvi, what do you make of that?
I think Elon Musk has learned some valuable lessons about politics.
I mean, like, don't mess with Wisconsin voters.
And dealing with people who have autocratic personality disorder. Mm-hmm. I mean, you knew it wasn't going to end well, and it has ended horribly for Elon Musk. And quite frankly, the road, this is the thing about Donald Trump that people don't want to, there are a lot of people who want to deny. There's lots of people who get this. Mm-hmm. The road of people who have connected themselves to Donald Trump is littered with people where it has ended very badly. And, you know, one of the fears from the outset for me has always been that it may end very badly having him as president of the United States again for America. It's far worse mm-hmm. than it ended the last time, which it ended the last time in January 6th, which is one of the lowest points in American history.
Jack and Merrimax on the phone. I'm going to get to Jack in just a second, but I want to pick up quickly, Trigvi, on what you just said about his Trump's personality disorder. We talked about this a lot yesterday over the Memorial Day weekend. Trump was tweeting out happy Memorial Day, talking about people as scum, never mentioned the men and women who died in battle. I found it very offensive. Then he said he was going to give a Memorial Day speech. He said, enjoy it. Completely disrespectful to the men and women who lost their lives and the families that remain after that. But one of my knocks, Trigvi, on more Democratic or liberal pundits is they love to say, oh, look, see, Trump has dementia. It's all dementia. Look, why aren't they talking about Trump's dementia? I have a dad who has dementia, and we're going through that in my family right now. I just don't see that. I don't think that Trump has dementia. You've dealt with authoritarians around the world. What do you, and you're not a doctor, but in your experience, what do you think it is in this personality that's just off?
I mean, I just kind of think he has autocratic, what I call autocratic personality disorder, which is they're all kind of the same personality. The desire for control, they're completely zero sum. I think, you know, Donald Trump is 78 years old. Has there been cognitive decline? Sure. There's cognitive decline in any 78-year-old versus somebody who's in their 50s or mm-hmm. in their 20s, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's just a reality. I think the whole, you know, he has Alzheimer's, whatever, having had two parents, both of whom had Alzheimer's, and having lived through it with my mom, which, you know, mm-hmm. probably, you know, closer than anybody taught, you know, a lot about how taxing that was and challenging because mm-hmm. she became really hard to deal with. It's just, you know, you wouldn't wish dementia or Alzheimer's on anybody.
No.
And I think here's the other thing. Quite frankly, I'm reading Jake Tapper's book mm-hmm. on Biden mm-hmm. and people need to read that. And Democrats, any Democrats who are going down that path with Donald Trump, and if Republicans try and cover up for Donald Trump the way that Democrats tried to cover up Joe Biden and what was going on, which the American people saw, there will be a real cost to that.
Yeah.
And that book, it's outrageous. Joe Biden's decline was something that was well known. And they were trying, there was a cover up to try and do that. And who did that ultimately help? It helped Donald Trump.
Yeah. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Jack and Merrimack. Jack, got about a minute left. If you can fit it in, please. Go ahead, Jack.
I'll try to be brief with two things. Thing one, the Republicans who are so enamored with our Constitution and especially the Second Amendment and at least give lip service to the First Amendment, need to read the purpose of the Constitution as is outlined in the preamble, which includes a phrase something like to promote the common welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And they destroying Medicaid and programs like that, food programs, yeah, that's not promoting the general welfare.
Hey, hang on, Jack. Jack, don't go anywhere. Just hang on a second. We're up against the clock. We're going to take a break. We'll finish up with Jack on the other side. Trivia as well. And Packer news coming from, well, kind of, sort of, from Terry Bradshaw. Get Trigby's take on that as well on the other side. You know, he is a Packer owner. It's the All Balls Show on Civic.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show from Lake Michigan to Lake Superior, Green Bay, the Mississippi River, and every place in between across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media. Yes, I talk for a living. The Civic Media Radio Network. I got ahead of myself because I was going to say Sam Davidson on the board in for Mr. Zomers, who will be back tomorrow. In hour two, we're going to do a segment called My Favorite Sams, as Sam gets ready to depart Civic Media on Friday to go be a teacher and lead people.
I guess so, yeah. Have you encountered many Sams in your time?
I'm not going to say a lot, but I have some. I have some.
So is that what this is going to center on?
Well, I think we're going to open it up to the audience.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, you're certainly one of my top favorite Sams of all time.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we'll do My Favorite Sam. And then also What's Worse in hour number two as well. Right now talking about the Trump reconciliation bill that is going through Congress right now, the ramifications thereof. We are up against the clock. Let's bring Jack from Merrimack back in. Jack, sorry about that, but the computer shuts me off whether I want it to or not. So finish up your thought. What were your thoughts about this, please?
Okay, well, thank you. Yeah, basically the first thing was the Republicans need to read the whole Constitution, particularly the reasons for the Constitution, as stated in the preamble, one of which is to promote the general welfare, and not the welfare of billionaires only, but just the general welfare. The other thing I wanted to point out is that, you guys have both said that as you get older, it is important to keep these regular checkups going.
Mm-hmm.
I look at them as preventive maintenance, like changing the oil on your car.
Yep.
And to try to keep that machine working properly. By the way, Trigby, at 80, I can still do 6 pull-ups on a good day.
Whoa.
I do 5 every day. So
at 80 years old, Jack's doing 5 pull-ups a day, Trigby.
That is outstanding. I play ice hockey with a guy who's 74, and that is my goal, is to be able to keep playing until my 70s.
That's awesome, Jack. Appreciate,
that's awesome.
Yeah, appreciate the call as always. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. All right, Terry Bradshaw on a podcast here this week, and the rumor now is that former Green Bay Packer, Jets quarterback, is on his way to Pittsburgh. And Terry Bradshaw, 4-time Super Bowl champion with the Steelers, is not too happy about it. Here's what Bradshaw have to say.
What do you think about possibly Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback? That's a joke. That is just, to me, is a joke. What are you going to bring him in for 1 year? Are you kidding me? I mean,
that's not the Steelers' way, right?
No, man, that guy needs to stay in California and go,
thank
go
you.
Somewhere and,
thank
and
you.
Chew on bark and and whisper to the gods out there.
100%. These guys on the show, Mr. Bradshaw, know I'm not a fan of his. We've been around each other personally, and he was not a kind person.
He does not. I had to go over and introduce myself to him. He's not. I had to go, hey, Aaron, I'm Terry Bradshaw. I know he knows me, but I just felt like I better tell him who I am.
Yeah.
And not, you know, you walk in there and you get in his presence and you feel like it's going to start snowing.
All right, there you go. Bradshaw on a podcast. I forget, I'm not sure what the name of the podcast was, or I'd shout it out. Can you see it, Sam, or not?
I don't see it.
That's fine. What do you think of that, Trigby? When you walk into a room with Aaron Rodgers, it feels like it's going to snow, says Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, I just Terry Bradshaw, honestly, that guy, he is kind of an American icon, I think.
He is.
He always kind of has been, too.
Right?
Right? Like, such a character. Such a character.
Yeah.
And four Super Bowls, which is three more than Aaron Rodgers has.
Yes. Right? Absolutely.
I mean, let's face it. Terry Bradshaw, that was a guy who was all about team. Aaron Rodgers is a guy who's all about me. And I don't know if you saw it, Todd. I was thinking about this when Jack was talking. You know, I had a post on Facebook. I have my Substack, but then I try and keep my social media independent of each other. But I posted because I've been thinking about this a lot. You know, we had people like Adie Halverson in my hometown who watched the first atomic bomb test. We had all these guys. We had a guy, a Pahachik, one of the Pahachik boys. He had stormed Normandy. He's one of the boys at Pointe du Hoc. There were 200 Rangers. I went and read about this online. 200 Rangers landed at Pointe du Hoc on Normandy on day one. 18 of them survived. He was one of the 18.
Wow.
They stood and fought off Germans, right? Like these guys. And you know what? He went home, he farmed, and he delivered mail.
Yep.
That's what he did.
Yep.
But he was a pillar of the community, and we have gotten so far away from that. And when you see the Medicare cuts and all of these, all about me, those guys had an understanding that it's about something far bigger than me because of what they went through.
Yeah.
Right.
Like that's a great point.
You land with 200 of your brothers and 18 of you are left fighting for your lives. You look at things a lot different, and man, have we gotten away from that? This is what we're seeing now is the test of our character.
I think you're absolutely right about that. And it's a great context to compare Bradshaw to the team guy and Rodgers to the me guy. Probably a reason that, you know, he's a fan of Robert Kennedy. It's all that bizarreness, right?
Yeah,
it's all about
I mean,
me.
It's just crazy.
And appropriate, you bring that up, Trigvy. Again, I travel across Wisconsin this weekend on Memorial Day, and you pass all of these cemeteries with flags and all these memorial markers in different cities and counties across Wisconsin. And sometimes we don't pause and think, that represents someone's life lost, a brother, a sister, a son, a daughter, a mom, a dad. They're never coming home, but they made that sacrifice for us. And we have to always remember that and never forget.
Yeah, and we need to honor it by trying to take what lessons we can from them.
I mean, 100%.
Now, I will say that is of all the posts I put on Facebook, and part of the reason why I keep politics off of Facebook is I have lots of friends who, you know, are more on the right. I have a bunch on the left, right?
Right.
That did get universally
liked. Trigvy is a universally liked guy. He's going to come back. He's going to spend a little time with us in hour two. What's worse is next in hour two, my favorite Sam, and talk about Donald Trump pardoning some people as well. All that and more straight ahead. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show for a Wednesday across Wisconsin on the Civic Media. Right now.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.